Hi, my name is Kunal, and welcome to the Geeks of the Valley podcast, which connects with some of the brightest minds globally who are leading their respective industries today to discuss the hottest upcoming industry trends and how their work is affecting the global economy. What started off as a coffee chat has now grown into a global platform for visionaries.
This morning from Napa Valley, California, we have the co-founder and CEO of Picasso joining us. Previously, he was the co-founder and CEO of Dotloop, a real estate transaction management solution for brokers. Please welcome Austin Allison. Austin, thank you so much for joining us today.
Kunal, thanks for the opportunity to be here. It's really my pleasure.
And how are things with you in light of COVID?
Well, you know, for me, I think COVID reminded me of a couple things. One is the importance of family. You know, I've really enjoyed, while it's not always great to be at home and not go out quite as often and all that stuff, it's really been great to spend time with family. The second thing that it did for me is really reinforce the importance of place. You know, being in the real estate business, I've always been around, you know, homes and property. But spending more time at my home has really brought me a lot of kind of joy and happiness and enabled me to feel present. And I think that flexibility that's been introduced from COVID, you know, for many people is a silver lining in some ways. I mean, more people have the freedom to work remote and, you know, spend time with people they love and in places that they love. And I've certainly been pretty appreciative for that part of the experience.
I'm happy to hear that. And speaking of Picasso, tell me about yourself and your background and how it led you to the path of starting Picasso.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, it really dates back to my upbringing. I grew up in a small town north of Cincinnati, Ohio, and it was a modest upbringing. My dad was a carpenter, and we lived paycheck to paycheck. And I mentioned that because we definitely never had a second home. A second home for me was, you know, just a dream, you know, like it is for most people. Definitely wasn't a reality. But I had an entrepreneurial bug from the very beginning. I created my first company when I was 7 or 8 years old. It was a birdhouse business. And we started making birdhouses and riding up and down the street on our bicycles and knocking on doors to sell them. And eventually birdhouses transpired and morphed into homes. So when I was 18 years old, I got my real estate license. I started selling real estate as a way to pay my way through college and eventually law school, which I did after undergrad. And that journey led me to the creation of my first real estate tech company, which was called Dotloop. And Dotloop really empowered real estate agents to do deals and transactions more efficiently, which saved them a lot of time and hassle, but also really enhanced the consumer experience by empowering people to buy houses from the palm of their hand. And we grew Dotloop over a period of 7 or 8 years. And at that point in time, we became part of Zillow when we sold in 2015. And I stayed on there for about 4 years as an exec before leaving to start my next company, which is Picasso. So that's a little bit of, about the background in terms of how we actually you know, created Picasso. Along that entrepreneurial journey that I mentioned, eventually my wife and I reached a point in our lives and our careers where we were able to afford a second home. We bought a second home in Lake Tahoe, which was couple hours away from San Francisco, where we were living at the time. And that second home just totally changed our lives for the better, because it turns out when you buy a home, whether it's a primary home or secondary home, you're not just buying a piece of real estate. You're also buying a second community, a second group of friends, a second life in many ways. And that second home becomes your happy place. So for the last 8 or 9 years, ever since I had the opportunity to become a second homeowner, I wanted to find a way to make that dream possible for a lot more people. And we created Picasso to do just that.
And in other words, what is the business model?
Well, So it's co-ownership. It's real estate co-ownership. And the easiest way to get your mind around it is imagine if you and four or five of your closest friends or family members decided that you wanted to own a home together in your dream second home destination. The way that you would go about that is you'd go find the home, you'd purchase the home, you'd most likely purchase the home in the name of an LLC because it's a really proven and efficient way of owning real estate in this multi-owner use case. And then you'd design the home and you'd divvy up the responsibilities around things like bill pay, repairs, maintenance, scheduling. Picasso's ownership structure works exactly the same way with one difference, which is that Picasso manages all the little details. We facilitate everything from designing the homes to furnishing the homes to paying the bills to repairing things when they break. And you also don't need to know the other owners, meaning you could just buy 1/8 or 1/4 of a home without knowing who the other owners are. And Picasso manages the entire experience in such a way that the ownership is seamless. So you just get to show up at your home, enjoy it, pull your stuff out of the owner's closet, and live your life. And when you leave your home, Picasso takes care of everything else. In terms of our business model and how we make money, we're basically a real estate brokerage and property management company where we make money on the initial transaction by charging a service fee, just like a home builder would or a normal real estate company would. They make money on the initial transaction. So when you buy a Picasso, a little bit of that purchase price comes to us as a service fee. And then we manage the property throughout its life. So all the cleaning activities, the repairs, the maintenance, all of that flows through Picasso. Financing is also a part of our business. So about 70% of people who buy homes through Picasso use our financing, and we provide that service and make a little bit of money on that. And then the final point is resales. So let's say you bought a Picasso unit for $500,000, and a year from now you decide you want to sell your unit for $600,000. You would call Picasso, and Picasso would help you to facilitate that transaction as well.
Furthermore, to the point on home co-ownership, can home co-owners rent out their homes to others as an alternative form of passive income?
Homeowners are not allowed to rent out their home on the Picasso platform. This is an owner occupancy only sort of an offering. And it occupies just like a primary home where the owners, use the home for their own personal use and enjoyment. They occupy the homes almost 90% of the time. And that's a real benefit to the community because in many of these second home communities, the typical second home sits vacant for 10 plus months per year because the average second homeowner only uses their home 5 or 6 weeks per year. So Picasso solves that problem by consolidating ownership so that a small group of people are able to, share one home, and that results in better utilization, which means that throughout the entire year, the local businesses, be it the restaurants, coffee shops, markets, they're being supported year round by Picasso owners. In fact, we just conducted an economic study on this, and it was pretty profound. The results that we saw, I'm forgetting the exact stats at the moment, but it was compelling. I mean, Picasso homes, I think it was something like 10x the amount of economic activity that comes from a Picasso home when compared to a normal second home. So we really empower, great utilization, which is good for the owners because it makes second home ownership more accessible, but it's also really good for the community and the local economy because it's being supported year round by the owners. One other thing that's pretty interesting about co-ownership is it actually alleviates a lot of pressure for housing. And this is a big deal right now because we're in the middle of a housing affordability crisis. And it's a housing affordability crisis that's probably not going to go away anytime soon, if ever, because there's just way more demand than housing supply available in all these, mini markets around the country. and around the world for that matter. Through our model, we're essentially consolidating demand into fewer homes. So it's kind of analogous to like carpooling, right? Imagine if you had 8 SUVs with one person driving each SUV, driving down the highway, you know, back and forth every day to work. That's bad for the environment because there's more SUVs polluting the air. It's bad for traffic because there's more cars, you know, congesting the streets. And it also makes the cost of ownership, you know, to purchase a whole car and also to fuel an entire car more of a burden for the owners. Co-ownership is effectively like carpooling for housing. It's better for the environment because there's fewer homes that need to be built. It's better for affordability because housing affordability is kind of like traffic, right? Like it's being driven up by the fact that there's a lot of demand for a small number of homes, and we help with that. And it also lowers the cost because it empowers, you know, the owners to share both the upfront cost of purchasing the home and also the ongoing cost of operating the home.
So Austin, Picasso in less than a year has analyzed $330 million in revenue, in addition to raising both your Series B and Series C in less than 6 months of each other. This is more than just a feat. How did something like this happen?
Well, I think it's a, you know, it's a combination of a lot of hard work and some good luck. You know, the stars have really aligned for this business at this moment in time. You know, stepping up to 50,000 feet for a moment, there's been an incredible amount of demand for second homes that has existed for a long, long time, long before the pandemic. The pandemic did not create demand for second homes. It accelerated it, sure, but it didn't create it. Demand for second homes has existed for a long time. In fact, 75% of the people that we survey aspire to own second homes. So this is like a pretty widespread aspiration that people have once they've achieved a certain level in their career and household income levels. The number one thing that prevents people from realizing that dream is cost, meaning they can't afford a whole second home or they can't afford the whole second home that they want. The number two reason why people aren't able to realize their dream is they can't justify the hassle, meaning even people who have the funds to buy a whole second home, many of them can't justify it because it's such a hassle and these second homes are so underutilized. I mean, many people don't want to buy 100% of a home that they are only going to use 10% of the time. So Picasso solves those problems and it really meets the market and fulfills on an unmet, you know, need that has existed for a long time. And I think that really led to really strong product market fit that we found early in the company's life. And frankly, it's just, you know, there's the product market fit is just stronger and faster than I could have ever imagined. Like I knew, I mean, it is as much as you can though, I guess you can never be 100% confident, but I was 99% confident that making second home ownership available at a lower cost in a more responsible and more sustainable way that's better for, you know, everyone. I was 99% sure that business idea would work. But usually it takes a lot of time to build a big business and, you know, introduce a new category to society. But in this case, I think we just had so much product market fit, you know, right out of the gate that it positioned us well to hit the ground running. So now here we are about a year and a half in following our launch in October of 2020. And it's growing like crazy. You know, we did more than about $300 million in revenue in our first year, as you mentioned, which is pretty incredible. We serve about 40 destinations around the US and Europe. We've got about 300 people on our team now. And we're fully distributed, by the way. I mentioned that in my opening. So the 300 people on our team live across 35 states and 6 or 7 countries now. So yeah, it's been pretty crazy to just see how quickly the category has caught on.
So Austin, going off one of your points, traditionally, homeowners who own second homes can visit their second home whenever they wish. How do you ensure fluidity between other home co-owners when it comes to the sharing of the space over the course of a year?
It is very fluid. So we've created a proprietary technology called SmartStay, which distributes the calendar in a fair and equitable manner amongst the ownership group. So if you own 1/8 of the home, you're going to be entitled to 1/8 of the peak season, 1/8 of the non-peak season, and 1/8 of the holidays. If you own 1/4 of the home, you're going to be entitled to 1/4 of those things. And the SmartStay technology does a really amazing job of accommodating, you know, most of the owner's request. And what I mean by most is obviously you're not going to get every single date that you want out of the calendar. That's just, you know, mathematically impossible in an arrangement where multiple people own the home. But our owners get, you know, most of our owners that I talk to and ask the scheduling question would say they feel like they get about 80% of what they would have wanted out of the calendar anyway if they own the whole home, meaning there's definitely a little bit of compromise on calendar, but the compromise is well worth it because they save, you know, 85% less money when compared to the cost of buying and operating the whole home. And they save 100% of the hassle because Picasso handles every single detail from start to finish. But it's very dynamic. And as I mentioned, our homes are utilized almost 90% of the time. So the reason why that's an important stat is because it really validates that our owners use the home throughout the entire year. They're not just optimizing for, you know, New Year's and 4th of July, to use an example. They're really utilizing the home like a primary home would be occupied. They're living in the home, working nomadically throughout the entire year. And the SmartStay technology really does a good job of distributing the calendar.
Now, honing in on the U.S. PropTech market, what are some of the business models you are seeing, and how is Picasso adapting to ensure it stays ahead of its competitors?
Well, I don't really spend a lot of time worrying about competitors or what other companies are doing. I mean, obviously I follow the industry and there's a lot to be, you know, learned from other companies who do things well. But generally speaking, what I've found in my experience across, you know, several companies now is that the most important thing for any entrepreneur or company is to just focus on our business, right? Like at Picasso, I'm focused on surrounding the company with the best possible people, empowering those people to do their best work, you know, executing well against our strategic plan to deliver great experiences for our owners. If we do all of those things really well, competition becomes, you know, less relevant and potentially irrelevant as time goes on. So that's where I focus as it relates to competition. Our competition, though, is really whole homes. I mean, actually, the real competitor is doing nothing at all. Because, and what I mean by that is, like, if a buyer is considering buying a, you know, an 1/8 or 1/4 of a home through Picasso, their alternative is probably doing nothing at all. You know, like if we lose a buyer, that's why, because second homes are discretionary. You know, it's not like it's something that you have to have in the same way that you need a pair of shoes or you need groceries. I mean, it's a discretionary purchase by definition. So with discretionary purchases, you know, oftentimes, you know, you don't have to have it. So that's really what we compete against is the fact that it's a discretionary purchase and some people are okay with waiting. Second to that, I would say it's whole homes though. You know, the people who are buying through Picasso are buying through Picasso because they see it as a better, smarter, more responsible, both fiscally and socially, way to own a second home. And it also up-levels their buying power. You know, like the people who are spending, you know, $500,000 with Picasso are getting 8 times the home than they would otherwise be able to get if they bought the whole home. You know, like let's say hypothetically, you were going to spend $1 million to buy a second home in, I'll use Napa Valley because that's where I live. In Napa Valley, $1 million is a median priced starter home, you know, two bedroom, you know, pretty like, you know, basic primary home. It's not a, you know, second home sort of compound that many people envision when they think about a second home. With our model, we're empowering people to move their buying away from that $1 million median price tier to the $8 million, you know, super high-end ultra luxury tier, because $1 million would buy you 1/8 of an $8 million home through Picasso. So that's kind of how we think about the landscape.
And with this new fresh round of funding for your Series C, do you plan on expanding into Asia, Europe, or other parts of the world? What is the five-year plan?
So we already do have a presence in Europe. We started in the US and quickly followed in Europe. We haven't announced any plans beyond the US or Europe yet, other than Mexico. We're also in Mexico now. But in terms of our five-year plans, you know, the aspirations are definitely big. I mean, we think that people all over the world, not just people in the US and Europe, aspire to live more enriched lives through second homes. And we plan to make that possible for as many people as possible. That being said, you know, you can only grow so fast. And there's only so much time in the day. So, you know, we expand very methodically and strategically. And the vast majority of what influences market expansion for us is really all about demand signals that we hear from our owners, meaning we have millions of people that visit our website and they're engaging with our listings, they're talking to our sales team, and all of those buyers are giving us a lot of, you know, intel into what they're looking for. And that enables us to identify the right markets and the right homes to expand into. So as we expand into more markets beyond the US and Europe, it would be driven by demand from buyers on our website.
So Austin, I know you had alluded to this earlier in the call, but what is it like being a fully distributed startup? And what challenges did you face in starting a company during COVID? Was it a blessing in a way?
I think it's great. And I consider it a real privilege to be a fully distributed startup. And what's interesting about this question is that I'm also a big fan of office culture. Like I've always, in my prior startups and companies, I've always been in offices where there's been a very dynamic and vibrant culture. And I've always appreciated that and been somewhat skeptical on whether or not you can replicate that culture in a distributed environment. But, you know, Picasso has shown me that it's absolutely possible. We started Picasso before the pandemic and we made the decision before the pandemic to be fully distributed. So we, you know, we were that way right out of the gate. But I would say when the pandemic happened, it really made that transition easy because we were all forced to be at home. And that really laid a strong foundation where we were able to attract people who wanted to be in a distributed work environment. We were able to be proactive and thoughtful about the distributed work infrastructure that we would design into our, you know, internal tools and into our culture. And now I, you know, find the culture in a distributed environment to be just as vibrant, just as interesting, but way more flexible and empowering than office work, you know, because like I think I mentioned earlier, like one of the benefits of being distributed is you can spend time with your family, you know, you can go for a run at lunch, like you can live nomadically. Like my wife and I just spent a month at our Picasso home away from our primary home. And we weren't vacationing. We were just living nomadically. We were living and working remote, but in a different location. And that type of lifestyle is not possible in a world, or certainly not practical in a world where you have to be in the office 5 days a week. So I think distributed work is amazing. It's very empowering for me and also our entire team. And probably the most important, you know, advantage from a startup perspective is it empowers you to hire people from anywhere in the world. I mean, there's obviously great people in every market, regardless of where you're located. But when you're not limited by geography and you could truly cast a net that's, you know, across the entire world, it just gives you kind of an infinite pool of talent to recruit from. And that's been pretty amazing. And I think it's really gone a long way in empowering us to build a world-class team in such a short period of time.
And Austin, to wrap up our call with our last question for the day, what piece of advice would you give to people out there from the journey you've had so far in life?
Well, I would sum it up in a couple different pieces of advice. I don't know that I could pick just one, but one would be surrounding yourself with great people. Nobody succeeds alone. And the more great people you surround yourself with, the more likely it is that you will be able to do great things. So that's a really important lesson. And it starts with your mentors and your coworkers and your managers. And eventually, if you become an entrepreneur and you start a company, it goes on to your investors and shareholders. But that's an important one. Second would be following your passion. And at Picasso, we describe this as embracing an infinite mindset, where like I've found that there's really nothing more powerful than working on a mission that you really believe in and that you're really passionate about, because we spend so much of our lives working that it would be pretty miserable if you were spending all that time on something that you really didn't believe in, first off. But second, you end up doing a lot better work when you really believe in what it is that you're pursuing. So I highly recommend that everyone, you know, identifies their passion, you know, and think very long-term and infinitely about that passion throughout the course of their life. And if you follow your passion, you know, good things tend to happen, and you'll have a good time along the way. So those would probably be the two pieces of advice.
And Austin, for people out there who are interested in catching a cup of coffee with you or potentially connecting over a Zoom chat, what would be the best points of contact?
The best way to find me is probably on Twitter, G Austin Allison at G Austin Allison on Twitter. And DM me or message me live.
Austin, it was a pleasure having you on Geeks of the Valley, and thank you so much for joining us today.
Thanks, Kunal.
This podcast is brought to you by PyTone, an Asian-based open source enterprise software company. PyTone offers a suite of software applications and infrastructure services to scholars and universities.